things you've done in our life. Well, you've brought us so far. And even though you brought us to where we are, Lord, it's people that work with us and minister us and correct us and love us and inspire us throughout the journey that we each have. And thank you for this place, the Christian Service Center, that has made such an impact. Well, he gave me my wife, Lord. And thank you for that. Made such an impact on our lives, giving purpose when I had no purpose, and helping. And may you take your word this morning, Lord. And may it just be life. And may it change us and draw us closer to you. Because, Lord, we need you more than we need life. Knowing that it's because of you that we have life. And we'll honor and thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, when you think about, do you know him? If I say, do you know him? You know, depending on who I'm talking about, you'd say, yes, because you know me, and you'd say, you're probably talking about Jesus. So, but if I say, do you know him? How do you respond? Do you know him? And how well do you know him? I've said, in what area do you know him? Because a name, when you think about a person's name, what does it tell you? You know, when I say a person's name, it tells you a little bit about their character. You, when you hear about that person, you know about their giftings. It tells you about their personality a little bit. You say, that person, oh, yeah, I know them, or I know this person. They're really good at this, or they have this. You know their strengths. You know their weaknesses. The more that you, the deeper that you know the person, the greater understanding you have of that person with that name. And when we say the name of Jesus, we begin to understand what? That name means salvation. Yeshua means salvation. It means deliverance. We know that he brings about he brings about salvation in the people's hearts. We know that he brings life in people's hearts. We know that he's been given a name that's above every name, and that one day every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that he's Lord. I mean, we know that his name is a name that's above every name. I'd like to look at a scripture in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah 9, verse 6 says, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And so we're talking about the Savior here. His name shall be called, or that name, he is going to be known and proclaimed as someone who is wonderful. And if we say we can point out saying that Jesus, that Savior is wonderful, but is he wonderful to you and I? Do we able to experience? We know that Jesus was wonderful in his birth. He was what? Emmanuel, God with us. He was wonderful in his life. We know that as he lived, it said the books itself wouldn't be able to contain that everything that was written about that Savior. We know that he was wonderful in death, that he died for people like you and I. He died on the cross for our sins. We know that he was wonderful and a miracle in his life, that he rose again from the dead, that he defeated death, that he is victorious over death. And we know that he's going to be wonderful when he comes again for his church. We know that he's going to come back down and he's going to take you and I to bring us to that place. And all things that he started with are going to be completed. And so we know that he's wonderful. And when you think about how he showed himself wonderful in the Bible, we see during life, do you remember the lady with the issue of blood? That lady needed, she came to the end of herself. She spent all that she had. She came to a place where there was nothing left in herself. And she said, if I could just touch, if I could just grab a hold, if I could get through all those people and just touch the hem of his garment, just grab a hold of it, then I know that I shall be healed. And she had a mindset that said, I'm going to get to know this wonderful one. I'm going to get to know this miracle worker. I'm going to get to know this Jesus as him who is called the Wonderful One. And she was willing to press through in her weakness. She couldn't have been but 80-some pounds and had to press through people, just sheer determination, saying, I've got to get a hold of that Wonderful One. And when she grabbed a hold of him, Jesus healed her and he said, go in peace. Go in peace. And if I was to ask you, do you need to know him as the Wonderful One? His name shall be called, and he's going to be proclaimed as wonderful. And it's great that he was wonderful to her, but he wants us to experience him as wonderful. We want to take it and apply it personally in our lives and say, Lord, I need to know you as wonderful in my life. And then he says, not only will you be wonderful, he's going to be a counselor. Are there times in your life where you say, I need counseling? I need to know that this Jesus is one who can give me advice. He is one who can guide me and place a purpose in my heart. Because the greater the purpose that we have, that purpose will begin to influence our behavior. If you have a strong purpose and a direction from the Lord, that's going to be able to influence your life. It's going to influence and be able to develop your life because you want his purpose and his work applying in your heart, and you want that purpose in your life. And you say, Lord, I need purpose, I need direction, I need guidance. He wants to walk through life with you, line on line, precept on precept, a little bit here and a little bit there. The beauty of the Lord is he takes us from where we are to where we need to go. He places us in a place at point that says, okay, I'm going to counsel you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to work every step of the way. We're going to go together. I'm not a God that's going to leave you. He's not like a ticket agent. You know, the ticket agent, you go through and you get the ticket and they send you away. He's more like a tour guide. He's somebody that takes you and says, I'm going to get your tickets and this life, and I'm going to tour you through life. I'm going to go with you every step of the way. And as you're going through life, I am going to teach you and I'm going to show you everything that you need to know. I'm going to be the one that takes you through this journey of life. I'm not going to leave you on your own. So many times we get put to that place in our life where we feel like we're all alone. I don't know about you, but I don't even want to go here from the back door of saying, Lord, I need your strength. I need your guidance. I need your help in every aspect of my life. I need you. I need you to be counseling me. I need to hear the word of God. I need to have that word in my heart that I might not sin against them. I don't want it just to be words on a piece of paper out there. I don't want the word out there. It's great that this is the word of God, and we need that word. But the idea is we take this word and we take it and we place it in our heart so that wherever we go, we become that written epistle, seen and known of all men. We want God's word alive in our heart. Then we go back and we get some more and we devour it so that we get the nutrients and the nutrition that we need. We get the understanding that we need, the wisdom and the guidance that we need so that we're able to face the life that we have before us. We all get these issues. She had the issue. And we all have common problems in our life. And we sometimes come into crisis in our life. And we don't know what to do and how to handle those problems, how to handle those crises. And that's why we have a Savior. That's why he is there for you and I to give us and to help us every step of the way. Not only is he wonderful, not only is he a counselor, it says that he is what? What is he next? A mighty God. He's just not God, he's a mighty God. He wants to show himself strong and valiant on your behalf. Do you remember when he told the disciples, he said, get in the boat, we're going to the other side. We're going to cross the sea. We're going to go across the Sea of Galilee. And they started on their journey. And as they were going on that journey, Jesus was exhausted. He was in a deep sleep in the back of the boat, sleeping. And all of a sudden, a storm began to brew within that sea. And the winds began to crash against that boat. The wind began to come. The waves began to go. The water began to go into the boat, and it started to overflow. Jesus is sleeping. Jesus is with them the whole way. He didn't leave them. He didn't say, just go on the other side. He was with them through that difficulty. He was with them in that storm. And what he wants to do is he wants to be with us in that difficulty that we might face, that storm of life that we might be in. And we all go through storms. I wish life was easy, but it's not. It's a challenge. Every day has a new challenge that draws us either. We can either allow it to overtake us, or we could draw our strength from it and draw our strength from the Lord and go from faith to faith. And go from glory to glory and allow the Spirit of God to work in and through us. It's up to us with what the choice that we have. But what did they do? They came to a realization that they went to the back of the boat and they started waking Jesus up. And what did they accuse him of? He said, "Don't you care?" They said to him, "Don't you care that we're perishing? Don't you care?" How many of us face challenges in our life because of we feel like we're coming to the end of ourselves? And in that boat, in the back of that ship, is a Savior. And they came to that boat, and they started shaking him, saying, "Don't you care? Don't you care that we're perishing?" And Jesus arose, and he spoke and rebuked the wind. And he told the sea to be calm. Complete control over all of nature. He showed himself strong over all nature. And then he said, "Why is it that you have no faith? Where is your faith?" Implying that you should be able to handle these type of situations. But what they did is they got with each other and they said, "What manner of man is this? What manner of man is this that even the seas obey him? That even the storms itself obey him? What kind of man is this?" And you see, Jesus doesn't just leave us in the boat to be drowned. Now, if they would have been left to themselves, what would have happened? If they didn't go to the back of the boat, Jesus probably would have woke up and saved them. But a lot of times, we'll sit there and he's in the boat with us, and our faith just isn't where it needs to be often in life. But we need to know that Jesus is that friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's right there in the boat with us. And this is the thing. When Jesus arises in our behalf, he is a mighty God and things begin to move. Those storms begin to get settled. Life begins to change. And that's all we say is, "Lord, would you rise up in our behalf? Would you rise up in our life? Would you be real in our lives?" Sometimes we need to know him as that mighty God. We need to know him as wonderful, a miracle worker. We need that strength in our life. We need to trust him and believe that no matter what we're going through, he's able to get us through. Sometimes in life we just need some direction and we need some purpose and we need some guidance and we just need that little bit more to get us to where we're going. And sometimes we need the mighty God because the storms of life begin to just start overtaking us. And it just seems like every time you're trying to turn around, something else is being thrown at you. But what it is his name shall be called, or his name is going to be declared as one who is able to work on your behalf. Why? Because he went to the cross. He went to the cross for you and I, for our sins, but he rose again. And when he rose from the dead, it gives us the strength and the courage and the power that we need to go forward in life, knowing that if God is for me, what? Who can be against me? We're our own worst enemies many times. And we have to grab a hold and believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask, according to what's at work within our heart and within our lives. And so often we just put that and minimalize that, and we allow ourselves to think on things instead of thinking on good, instead of thinking on just, instead of thinking on virtuous, instead of thinking what God can do, and allowing our mind to go in a direction that draws us closer and closer to him, we find our minds thinking about the problems that we're facing in life and those minds and begins to have an emotional impact upon our lives. And we could spiral downhill. And that's why the Lord says we've got to come to that place where we look under the hills, knowing that our help is coming. Help is on the way. But the thing is, we've got to believe and trust and set our affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. Why? Because above is all victory. Above is all deliverance. Above is all everything that we possibly could need in life is above. And so often we're finding ourselves down living in the doldrums of life, knowing that we serve a God that's above all. He calls he holds the stars in the sky. He calls the sun to just go down and come back up. He's glorious. He's magnificent. And he wants us to know him as that. It's not a fairy tale. It's a truth. It's a life. It's something that he wants us to grab a hold of and walk with us in every single step of the way that we're, every single challenge that we're facing in life. He wants to walk there and give us the guidance necessary to give us the victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world. What? Even our faith. We've got to believe that this God is a mighty God. This God is a counselor. This Jesus is wonderful. He's extraordinary. He's a deliverer. He's able to do whatever it is that we need. He's there for us. He's wonderful. Has anybody here ever experienced him as wonderful? I mean, if you've got saved and set free and delivered from everything, anything at all, then you know that he's wonderful. We might be trying, having to work and walk through some things in life, but we've experienced him in areas of our lives as wonderful. And we're trying to experience him in more areas of our life. Our life is a life of faith. We're taking it line by line, precept by precept, a little bit here and a little bit there. It's a journey. And during this journey, there's some things in life that we get the victory over right away. And there's other things in life that it just seems like the process is just a little bit longer. But the beauty of it all is God accepts us and takes us right where we are. And he says, this is the way. Walk ye in it. Walk ye in it. He's a mighty God. Not only is he wonderful, not only is he a counselor, not only is he a mighty God, he's an everlasting Father. He's a Father. When you think about a father, I didn't have the greatest father. I mean, I had my dad was great. Don't get me wrong. He's a wonderful, wonderful dad. But sometimes he would be drinking and things like that, and it wasn't always that good. But when you have an earthly father, that's one thing. But when you have a heavenly Father that says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'm with you every step of the way. He's there to protect us, to guard us, to be a shelter to us, to give us the care that we need, the safety that we need. He wants to be a shelter. He wants us to go into the hiding place, into his presence. He's one that corrects us along the way. You know, if you're walking off the, you know, if you're walking off the curb into the street and you're starting to walk this way, he's that one that just pushes you back. Now, he's not like you used to do when you were a kid. Well, I don't know, maybe you didn't, but I'll say what I used to do. You know, you put the foot in front of the guy and you push him. He's not a God like that. He's a guy that just says, hey, this is the way. He nudges you over. He pushes you over. Don't go out that way. Stay within the path. Stay on the narrow path. Stay on the way that leads to eternal life. Don't allow yourself to get caught up in the things of this life and the world. He's a father that walks with you. He's a father to the fatherless. And no matter how deep the hurt, no matter how deep the pain you may be experiencing, you can know that you can draw from Emmanuel, that you can draw from that God with us, that no matter what it is that you need, he's there to be able to just be that source of peace, that source of life, that source of love, that source of compassion that's new every morning on us. He's not like us, like our fathers expect us to be a certain way and do certain things and expectations maybe that are beyond where we're at, or maybe no expectations at all, just calling you names, not smart, dumb, or whatever. But he's a God that says, listen, I'm giving you talents, I've given you gifts, I've put my love in your heart, given you a new life, I've given you my blood, and together, we're going to co-labor together in life, and we're going to walk together, and I'm going to teach you and show you and love you through every storm that you may encounter. You're not alone. I'm with you. He's a father that really does love us and care, and you know, when we see earthly fathers, there's not that many good ones a lot of times to look at, but even so, if you had a good father, say you had the greatest dad on earth, the thing about it is, what happens is he's not there everlasting. He's only there for a season of your life. And then he moves on. And then what happens is you have to learn to draw from the Father above, to draw from this everlasting Father and say, Lord, I need your strength. I need that hurt, that pain. I need that to be set free. Because sometimes what happens is we allow pains to get in our heart or hurts to get into our heart. And if we don't aren't able to have that potential to give it to the Lord, we'll never be able to move to the next place, because we get ourselves wound up. It's a bondage. It's a spiritual bondage that just wraps around our heart and wraps around our life, and we don't really understand why am I not getting anywhere? A lot of times it's that deep-seated bitterness, that root of bitterness that might get in, that affects us from being and doing what God has us to do. That's why it's important that we lay aside those things of life that actually control our lives and try to destroy it. And that's why it's important that we have people that are able to, that we can call and pray with, that we have people that can mentor us, to can draw us closer to Him. Because if you're getting close to people that are close to the Lord, then what's going to happen? They're going to draw you closer. If you're getting and hanging out with people that are away from the Lord, whatever it is their desire is going to pull you in that direction. Because why? That's the heart. That's the life. That's the way you're going to be ended up going. But we serve a God who says, okay, come on over here. Get around the people that are going to encourage you. They're going to help you. They're going to strengthen you. That are going to be willing to correct you in love. They're going to be willing to do what's necessary to say, hey, this is what needs to happen to get to this next point. You know, if you have a journeyman and he's an electrician or he's a plumber, you know, it's important, and you're working on somebody's house, you know, you're working with that person. If you see them starting to put the line supposed to go from here to there, and the line's going from here to there, then what, you know, it's just something's not right. You got to say, hey, listen, man, I know your heart's in this, but I see you're working at it, but you just need to shift over a little bit. We need to go that direction. And that's the beauty of the Lord, the correction of the Lord. And that's the purpose of one another, is that sometimes we just get a little bit off in our thinking and our actions in the way we do things. And that's the importance of building one another up, encouraging one another, and pointing each other in the right direction. You know, and I know that if this is it and this is where you're heading, and you're trying to do plumbing, do you really want to spend time digging the hole in the wrong way all the way down to realize that you could have saved a lot of energy, a lot of heartache, a lot of frustration just because somebody said, listen, you're starting to dig the wrong direction. You need to just shovel. You don't have to go far. You just need to kind of go like this. And then you can be right on track. Simple move. Simple decision. Just this way. And that's the importance of the body of Christ. That's the importance that God has given us people to help us say, this is the way. Listen, you got it. You're going right. You've got your heart in it. But don't use your energy for something that's going to destroy your life. Use that energy for something that's going to help you become all you can be in life. How many people do we know growing up that never got to where they need to be simply because of decisions and choices that they've made? Whereas if we'd know our Savior as a counselor, we'd have been able to instruct ourselves, have Him instructing us to get us the help we need. Because a lot of times when He's counseling you, saying, giving you the development, He's going to say, get some help from that person over there. Get some prayer from that person over there. Get some, but you see people that are better than you in something, what? You get help from them. It's just normal. If you're doing construction work, you know, I'm not really going to go to my wife for that. I'm going to go to Robert Pinkney. I'll say, Brother Pinkney, can you give me some wisdom? Why? Because he's familiar with that area. He knows that area. I'm not going to go try to gain wisdom from somebody that really doesn't understand that scenario. And that's why it's important that when we have to know the Word of God for ourselves and grow in the Word of God, and then get people around us that are going to help us in that area of our life. That's so that we're benefited, you know, that it'll benefit us. So not only is He wonderful, not only is He a counselor, not only is He a mighty God, not only is He an everlasting Father, He is what? He is the ruler of all peace. What did He do? He broke the walls of petition. He broke that walls that divided us, that division. He broke that wall down and He opened it up so that we could step in and be part of that family of God. What a joy. He gives us His peace. He told the lady at the issue of blood, go in peace. He took the storm and He said, what? Peace be still. He tells the believer, he told the disciples, what? My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be, don't let your heart be, neither let it be afraid. What? Don't be troubled. Don't be caught up in this. Receive from the peace of the Lord. You see, we have a decision to make, and he says, my peace I give to you. And I love the word peace is shalom. Health, peace, prosperity, wholeness, completeness. It's so encompassing. And that's why the Jewish people would say shalom coming in, shalom going back, because they want God's fullness and blessing upon their lives. From the coming to the going on their life, that he wanted a total wholeness in their life. And that's why he is the Prince of Peace. He is that Prince of Peace. And he wants to be the Prince of Peace, over the ruler over the peace of our heart. He wants to have peace. He wants to have rule over our hearts so that we can have peace. He's not one that says, that wants us to just struggle off in our challenges. He wants us to be in the storm with peace of heart. Just like Jesus had that peace when he was sleeping. He wants us to have that peace in our heart and in our life. He gave it to us. It's up to us to receive it. How often do we not walk in the peace of God that passes understanding because we allow ourselves to be troubled in mind and troubled in heart? We start worrying about this and that. And it says, can you change anything with thinking with that kind of thought? Can anything in your life change by all the worry in the world? The only way things change is by allowing of doing what's necessary. That's why, who has to renew their mind? Jesus said, what? When we talk about the mind, he says, be renewed, you know, renew your mind. So you have, you know, us, we have to renew our mind constantly. And so when we have to realize is that it's just not going to come by osmosis. You renew your mind. You grow in grace. You walk in faith. You love. You have to do it. There's certain things that he does. And there's certain things that we have to do to have that peace. Where we have to cast down imaginations. He's not going to cast down the imaginations. It's just like if I want this right here, if I want this moved from here to there, I'm not going to just say, Lord, sit here and say, Lord, move. Can you please move the pulpit over there, Lord? I don't understand why you're not for me. I don't understand why you're giving me such a hard time. You said if I ask anything in your name, you'll do it. I don't understand why you won't move that. No, he's certain things in life. He says, this is what's the way it is. I'm going to give you peace that passes understanding. I'm going to give you the strength. You can draw from strength from me. When you're weak, you can be strong. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Well, Lord, I just can't lift it by myself. He's there to lift it with you. And that's what brothers are for in the Lord. And together you do what? You move it. You do your part, he does his part. He gives us the hand, he gives us the wisdom on how to get it over there. But sometimes I think we expect God to just do everything. No, we have to do what's necessary to allow him to move. That lady with the issue of blood, to get peace, what did she have to do? Did she just sit back and feel herself and say, well, I did everything I had to do. I guess I'm just going to sit here and die. Now, would you have blamed her? In some ways, it's like, you know, she could have sat there and just said, you know, I guess it's just not meant to be, and I'm going to just let it go. No, she knew that she had to get a hold of the hem of his garment. And she knew that it was going to take a lot of effort to get through the crowd because Jesus was thronged with people all around him. And number one, she was ceremonially unclean. She wasn't even allowed to be doing that. And here she is saying, nothing is going to stop me from grabbing a hold of that which I need in my life. It's that perseverance that she had that said, I'm going to get a hold of it. And when we can get a hold and just grab a hold of the hem of that covenant, when we grab a hold of who he is and what he did for us, then we can realize that we can have peace, we can have the joy that we need, we can have the rest that we have in him. And the more he works in us, the more purpose and desire we'll get for what he has for our lives. Because the more real God is to you, the greater the impact, the greater you understand how much he loves you, the more it is to just want to follow through with what he wants you to do. So much is given, you know, much is required, but the one that's forgiven much, they love much because they realize how far they came. A person that only comes one inch doesn't really get an understanding. But when you come a long ways and you know that I know where I'd be and where I am because of him. When you grab a hold of how much he loves you, you want and you desire to please God. You want to do whatever it is necessary to understand and to do the things that he wants you to do in life. Not getting stuck in world's circus. This world is nothing that this world has to offer that's worth eternity. There's nothing in this world that it has that we should want more than the peace of God. Every family wants, what is it that we need more than anything in our heart and life? You know, we need Jesus, but what is it we need? We need peace. We need emotional stability when things are going crazy in ourselves. What does a family want? What do my wife and I want with each other? What do we want? Peace. So what does that mean? Now, God never has to give, but in our situation, what has to happen for us to have peace in our relationship? If I do something wrong, I have to be what? I have to say, forgive me. Right? So we talk about repent. What does that mean? I was speaking wrong. Say I was speaking wrong. Then I say, forgive me. I do a turnabout and have a different attitude towards the situation. And that's what life is about. We don't go a day in our life where our thoughts are that perfect. We don't go a day in our life where sometimes we don't make a little fall. That's why it's so important that we walk with the Lord and are conscious of everything we're doing. And the more conscious we are of him, understanding of who he is in that name, that, Lord, I need to know you. How do I need you in this situation? Do I need the wisdom of God to help somebody? Do we need the miracle work and power of God? Do we need the strength of God? Do we need the mighty God? Does this situation require the everlasting Father? What kind of way do we have to minister to that person that's before us? All of these things about who he is he's a wonderful, everlasting Father, but he is the Prince of Peace. He wants and desires to be our deliverer. Yeshua. He wants to be our deliverance from every area of our life that holds us back from serving him in whatever area it may be. He wants to see us through the challenge. He understands we're on a journey. And that this life of this journey that we're on, sometimes the winds of life might sometimes get the best of us. But there's always somebody in the back of the boat that we can go to, that when we go to him, he'll stand up on our behalf. And if we trust him and we believe him, we'll know that what? He will answer. Let's go ahead and stand up if we would. We talked about, the name that's above every name, that name of Jesus. And how do we need to know him? Do we know Jesus? Do we know him as Savior? Do we know him as the one who caused us to be spiritually born again, given us life? But how do we know him in other areas of my life? How well do we know him? Do we really understand his character? Do we understand who he is and how powerful and mighty he really is? Or do we just really go through the motions of life, of just going through a religious routine like sometimes we do when we pray for food? Sometimes we take it for granted. In other words, we pray, we bless our food, and at times, I'm not saying all the time, I know some people are very sincere and very serious in their prayer, but I'm talking about myself. Sometimes you're praying for food. Hey, confess your faults one to another, right? You're you're sitting here and you're praying for your food. Lord, bless this food. You know, sometimes the food is really good, sometimes it's not so good, but you bless it anyway, right? And you enjoy whatever's set before you. You're thankful for it. But sometimes you're really, no, I'm talking about myself, so when I say in yours, just, so you're sitting here and you're like, how sincere am I in what I'm really praying right now? You know, honestly. So am I really grateful? You know, there was, you know, in the some countries, when they're praying for that food, they are thankful because that may be the only meal they get that day. When I think you were reading a scripture, don't give me too much, don't give me little. The too much mentality is that I know that I can go out and get a hamburger if I need a hamburger. So it's that mentality. Even though we might not have much, we have more than most of the world. Okay, so you're able to go to a store and get what you want pretty much when you want. And it's sometimes you take for granted what is before you. And when things in life are going smooth, sometimes we take for granted and we don't really realize that this Jesus is wonderful, that he is a counselor, and that he wants to counsel us. Hey, listen, you need to learn to be thankful. You need to have a little more appreciation. You need to be a little more grateful for the food that you have. Why? Because if gratitude and thankfulness is so important in our life, and that's why the Bible and everything give thanks. It's a simple rule in our life because he knows how it helps us in our being emotionally. And so he wants us to be thankful and he wants us to be grateful. And as we learn to have that experience of him in these different areas, whether it's counseling, that he wants to go through you and guide. And what is the purpose of going to a counselor? It's to try to improve your life. It's trying to get a little purpose in your life. It's trying to get a little direction to get you where you need to go. Well, he is with you all the time to help you through this journey. And he wants us not to take it for granted. It's so important that we don't get stuck in ruts of life. Routines of life that we take things every day and just go through the motions of life every day without stepping back and realizing the beauty of the sky that is being held in place by a great God. The beauty of the cross that Jesus did. I mean, who do you know that's getting ready to go to a cross, getting ready to go through a huge amount of pain and takes bread and says, and gives thanks. Break bread. This is my body being broken for you. I'm being broken for you, he's Jesus saying, I'm broken for you. Who do you know that's going to getting ready to go be tortured, separated from God, and wants to know that he's broken for you and I? It's little things in life that we need to draw from. And this is the amazing thing about God. He stands at the door. He stands at the door of our heart and does what? And knocks. And he says, if any man will hear my voice and, what else do they have to do? They have to hear and they have to come. Hears my voice and comes unto me. I will come unto him and sup with him and he with me. In other words, Jesus is always there. Standing at the door of your heart, no matter what the challenge you're facing, he's there knocking constantly. And he's waiting for you to hear. He that has the ear, let him hear. He's wanting you to hear what he has to say. And not only is he wanting you to hear, he's wanting you to make progress towards him. And then he comes into you, and he sits down. And sups with you and you with him. A spiritual dining to discuss whatever it is that's on your heart. Things that are going good, you share with the Lord. Things that are going not really good, you share with the Lord. Things that are going okay, you share with the Lord. Just like you would a father that you would want in life. A father that you could go to at any time and just say, Dad, I really need help in this area. I need guidance. I need wisdom. I need something in my life, and things just aren't working. And there he is for you and I. So we'd like to open up the altar for whosoever will, that needs to grab a hold of the Savior in any one of these areas. Anyone, if you need to know him more as a miracle worker, as a wonderful one, if you're needing him as a counselor, he's there for a counselor. If you're needing the mighty God to stand up, he's there. If you're needing that fatherly love because you have hurts and pains, he's there for you. And if you just need peace of heart and peace of mind because you find yourself that your mind is troubled and your emotions are going every which way and you're thinking, he wants you to have peace. And say, okay, let's just take a step back and receive from him. He's there for us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. That you are such a loving Father that was willing to come to earth, to leave heaven, that you would humble yourself to come to this earth, to leave heaven and be God with us. Lord, we don't understand. We have no concept what that means. But we know that you loved us, Father God, so much that you gave your Son, that whosoever would believe in him wouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. We thank you, Father, that we can come to you in a time of need, and you're there to meet us in that need. Lord, would you move amongst us in a special way? Areas where we're just not learning how to give it over to you, Lord, that you would teach us and show us to be able to walk closer to you each and every moment of each and every day, that we would draw our strength from you, that we would draw our courage from you, that we would represent you in such an honoring way. Thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.